This is episode 200. I feel like I slurred that. I want it again. I just give me another take. Okay. This is episode 263, Moon Jams.
Coming to you from the 1970s. We haven't done that in a while either.
Yeah.
It's the Tone Control. And this week we're talking about eclipses, so deal with it. You know, I saw a thing and I people commenting about how boring the eclipse is and that they don't care. And I almost wrote a thing and I almost took the bait in the comment section. And I was going to say, and I'm just going to say it here because I need to get it out. If you don't think eclipses are cool, I don't think you're cool.
Got him. Fucking bullseye, man.
Got him. Headshot.
Headshot. Yeah. Boom.
If you're annoyed by eclipses, I'm annoyed with you.
Yeah. You know, they hardly ever, if you're annoyed by eclipses, you must have a pretty good life because there's hardly ever.
If you're annoyed by eclipses, it's the tolerance you must have.
All right. It's Tone Control. God damn it. This.
This is the Tone Control.
Well, well, well.
Whatcha?
If it isn't Derek.
If it isn't the Tone Control, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I was just thinking during our intro music there.
Yeah. That's the moment where we think about what we're going to talk about during the show.
Yes,
that's what
it is.
I do. Yeah. Okay.
When you hear that song, which was a song by your old band, people ask us this sometimes, where did the intro music come from? So I'm just going to put it on the record again that it's an old band of Justin's named The Speed of Film. And it's a song from those days. So when you hear that now, do you think of that band or do you think of the podcast?
Definitely the podcast. I mean, we've been doing this for 10 years.
I know.
I was not in that band that long.
I know. Yeah. So,
and it was much more than, it was also ended much more, you know, significantly more than 10 years ago.
And it ended well before we started the podcast too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, yeah. Huh. Okay, that's all.
It was. I think that's why it became why it was accessible
things,
as a theme music, right? Is because it was like, well, no band is like using this right now, kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, it kind of belongs to me in a way, and it's not, you know, it's not.
Right. I mean,
if it was an active band, then it would have been weird, I think.
I think so too. But yeah, that was part of the reason we were like, well, what about this? Like, what about this whole album's worth of music?
Yeah.
That you is know, like just sitting there now.
I've pondered occasionally if we should change it. Mm. Like at this point, we would probably just create something new, right? Which we didn't
we
at the time.
Change the theme music.
We should change the theme music. And I don't know, this has crossed my mind now and then as the time. Derek's so mad about that suggestion.
Wham!
I don't know. I don't know if that's anything. It's literally, I've just thought of it and I wasn't, and you asked about it. So you know what I mean? Because I think nowadays,
if we had
it to do over again, wouldn't we create something?
We would. And probably. I remember kind of working on something at the time, but for launch, like trying to come up with like ideas, but we also didn't know what the show was going to be like.
Right.
So
we didn't know if we were going to do it for 6 months and then quit or something.
Yeah. Or even like what form it would take, if it would be like more serious than it is, which is, could you imagine? But
well, that no, actually, that's not hard. It's not hard to imagine something more serious than this show. Because, I mean,
most things are.
That's most things. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at some point I thought like, oh, we should rebrand and like do new logo, new color, like all the, just a whole thing. And I was like, but I don't know, like why, right? Like why do that? Why bother? I don't know.
Sounds like work.
It does. And it was sort of like, I don't know, like what we have now is, I thought of this like a long time ago at this point, which, you know, maybe then was the time to rebrand, but now it feels like, we are an established, we have a look, we have a feel, like you can't change it now. That's not true, we could, but I don't know. Yeah.
You know, I've I don't feel an itch about that, about the rebrand. I don't feel an itch about the theme either. It was, you know, it actually, I was thinking about it because I do another, we do another podcast. We don't, but that's phrased wrong. That sounds like we both do yet another podcast together. Yes. That's not the case.
Although we could.
We cheat on each other. We could do another one together. It'll be on the off week for this one.
Oh my God, yeah. Now we're just podcasting weekly and one's about who knows what, right?
The new one would slowly start to gain guitar stuff and this one would just turn
taper off, right? They just...
The other podcast that I do, I did create the theme. Well, and you helped. You played on that theme song as well. I created some music and you played the guitar on it. And that's also been just going and going and we've never changed it. And not that there's anything wrong with it again, but I probably would do it differently if I had it to do over. But at the same time, that sounds like work. I don't know. These things bounce around my head.
Same thing for my Super Secret Dad Club podcast. Yeah. I made the intro music. And so now I guess I can add podcast intro music composer to my resume.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Anyway, how was your eclipse?
This will probably turn into nothing. The eclipse is, that's it. That's the whole, you know, it was so short.
Mm-hmm.
I have such strange feelings about my memories. It was just yesterday. It was just yesterday that the eclipse happened. My house is at like 99.5% totality or something.
Mm-hmm.
But for anyone who still is in the dark about this, so to speak, 99% of eclipse is 150% different than 100% eclipse.
It's still not 100%. We're at 94% where we are. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Is that, that's cool. Like I'm happy that that's, I'm in that path. That's cool. And all the talking and research and not research, but like looking into eclipse details and how to visit one and stuff. I was like, 94 is not good enough.
Right.
It's just not.
Yeah. It's, and now, cause I've seen some eclipses before, right? That were in the 70s, 80s percent. There was one, several years
ago. 1970s. Please continue.
one that was in when my kid was like two or something, there was one. And at our house, was just going to the backyard, it was like over 75%, which is cool because the shadows look weird and it's eerie. And it's like, oh, wow, you can like
it's
take
dim,
your sunglasses
bright,
off.
Yeah.
It looks like on a cheap TV show when they wanted this outside scene to look dimmer, but they were running out of, you know what I mean? They had to shoot on the wrong day kind of thing. It looks like that, which is eerie because it looks like a cheap special effect.
There's a term for that effect. Yeah. That it's like a desaturation of color that happens.
Right.
I forget the name of it, but
and I
it
think
is
that's
a
side effect from the rods and cones, rods versus cones in your eye. Right, it's a side effect of our own eyes. But that effect, like now that I have gone to I've seen the real thing, and I mean I knew what to expect and everything, but like I've seen the real thing, and like if you don't get to that point, it's so funny, like the tiniest little diamond flash of sun out of the edge of that moon and you still have to have your glasses on. Like
it is the brightest thing you've ever seen. It's still staring at the sun. My parents were at like a 93% and my dad was like, look, there's like 7% of sun left and it's still perfectly bright outside.
You look up at it, like, it still looks like a circle because you can't, your brain knows it is a circle. So it's just like, well, I can't see that. It's too bright. So I'm just going to make that a circle, you know?
Right. And so, you know, they didn't travel or anything, my folks, but even then they're like, whoa, it's dim outside. It's cooler outside, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know. I looking forward to this thing for so long. I had it on my calendar for a few years. And I was like, you know, I just want, I think I said this on the show, I can't remember, but I want like the sheer terror of the cosmos like forced on me. Like
feeling,
I want that.
Yeah.
That magnitude of insignificance, right? Like that thing of how unimportant we are. And I got it, which was great. And I'm still thinking about it a lot today, of course, because everyone's still talking about it. But
Yeah.
It's like truly remarkable.
It's so awesome. Hard to describe.
It is. And it's because it's like a, there's the physical thing that happens, right? It moves in front of the sun and it looks insane. Like, that's cool. But then there's also this, like, I don't know, kind of fundamental understanding of, like, your place in the universe that happens as well. And that's the part that I was, like, loving the most.
I it feels like an alien planet, right? We're never going to walk on another planet. So this is the closest I'm going to have. This is the most different that the world will ever look. You know, there's dusk all the way around, 365 degrees around you. There's dusk because it literally—
360 degrees.
What did I say?
365.
Oh, that's hilarious. Part of my brain is still there with you, Moon. So all the way around, all the degrees that exist, there's dusk. But instead of being in one direction, and it's like that's one of the more subtle things. You know, it's the frogs and the crickets all started to go. Mm-hmm. Emerson, my older dog, in those final seconds, we had like about the last 15 minutes, you take your sunglasses off, because it's just like not even that bright out anymore. It gets cool. But in those final seconds before, I happened to look over at him and he just laid down and shut his eyes.
Yeah. End of the day.
And then, we go through the whole thing. I turned around to look for him when it came back out, threw my glasses on, saw the little thing flick back around and it was like, just kind of marveling in the whole thing still. And I looked at him and he kind of stood up and he looked at all of us and sort of shook. He was like, good morning.
We're up.
And it's like,
that was a quick one.
Right. People say, look for animals and see what they do. But like, that's what they do. Necessarily wigged out. They don't think it's weird. I mean, the sun disappears every day. You know what I mean? And they don't have watches. Yes. So,
yeah, that's why daylight saving changes and mess up pets and stuff. So,
yeah,
because they just know. But it was great. We went up into Vermont. We were like 150 miles from here. So it was like a whole day, big deal trip. Uh-huh. The ride home was bad.
Because it was sort of someplace you had to get by highway kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And also very remote, so there's no service up there, which means there's no GPS stuff. Uh-huh. There's no reporting of traffic, even if you do have GPS. So it was like, I have the directions, but I don't know if there's a better route. And if I turn it off to find a better route, it's gonna not be able to find my way home, which happened once. And I was like, now I'm lost.
Now we're doing maps.
I don't have a map in my car because it's 2024. So,
Justin, you idiot.
But I was like, I'll just follow this horde of cars until I get to the interstate. Once we land on one of those, I know how to get home, but it was like, I don't know where I am. So it was great that we've found a small state park in between Montpelier and St. Johnsbury.
Yep.
And it was just like this perfect spot. Still pretty snowy up there. And there was a lake with, it was great. Yeah. Snowy, but it was still 60 degrees. So it's like mud everywhere still too. But there's a lake and it was, partially frozen over still. Mm-hmm. So it allowed us to see the shadow bands on the water, on the ice surface really, really well. It was awesome. And it's like, you're torn between like, do I look at these bizarre formations of shadows and light on the ground or do I look at the cosmos? Right.
There's so much to see and
my favorite
so
thing
little
is
time.
Like, when people are like, the stars came out. Oh my God. Well, now you know how stars work.
Right. Like, the stars came out.
Spoiler alert. They're always there.
I think we were, so similarly, we drove a bit, we were right on the edge of it, but we drove a couple of hours, mostly because we were just trying to be absolutely sure that cloud forming wasn't going to block us, right? Because I could have driven, in fact, a half an hour away was full totality. But we drove a couple of hours and we chose to go a little west because it looked like maybe the cloud fork. You know, Mario was all on top of this, like comparing three different like NORAD and other things. And she was really going for it because, we could have gone a little north or a little east and all these different directions to land in the right zone. But we wanted, anyway, so we went a little west into Indiana and found a fantastic spot, a little park on a reservoir So not too crowded. I mean, people sort of filled in, but it was the whole trip was back roads. There really was only a little bit of touching on a couple of highways if you wanted to get there. So we figured that was a good idea. Yeah.
Like, I'm in New England. So, like, in these upper regions of these upper states, there's only one highway that gets there, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And especially once we crossed into New Hampshire and came down, you know, we're like, it's doing that thing where it gets you off the highway for a few exits and then you get back on again to skip an accident or something like that. But I'm like, you know, the one blinking traffic light in this tiny little town that doesn't even have like a school or a mayor or anything is so small.
The mayor's never, dog,
right, was never meant for this amount of traffic and it shows.
Yeah.
Right? Like right now you can see. So it was a lot of that kind of getting in the way on the, but the trip there was totally fine.
It was two hours,
no problem.
Because I think most of the travelers went ahead of time. Everybody knows this was going to be traffic, right? So most people went ahead of time, but there's no getting around it that you're going to have traffic on the way back. We did pretty good in that regard, like I said, because it was mostly back roads, but there were some of these towns, and they were a little crowded. And it was funny to look. We did have cell service. We looked at the map and just Marielle just zoomed out and you could see like that map of the eclipse striping across the country that was traced by red lines on the traffic map because wherever that was turned into red lines after it was done because then everybody got in their cars. It was kind of fun.
I saw a similar one that was Airbnb rentals and it was just the path of totality. I'll even say today, out and about in the world today, traffic was heavier than usual. I think a lot of people stayed into today and left.
Oh, yeah, might have.
So, I hadn't thought of that. But yeah, it was fabulous. I think if you get the chance to see an eclipse, whether total or annular or something like that, just do it. Like you have nothing to lose. And I think it's, I don't know, honestly, I think one of the best parts of our experience was that nobody had cell phone service, believe it or not. So like everyone was just there, like present, not looking up facts and figures and not looking up. They had like sheets and it was just all like felt more real, I guess. Like they've got the timetables printed out, right? There's somebody from the Parks Department, the Vermont Parks Department there, like taking notes in a notebook with times and stuff. And I was like, oh, this rules. And like it filled in. It was pretty busy by the time we left, but not like overwhelming. Kids could still run around and play. There was lots of dogs and stuff. Jack had the freaking time of his life.
Yeah, we were on this little meadow. We were 30 feet spaced probably between all these different groups of people in their picnic blankets. It's pretty great in that regard. There was one kid during the middle of it, you know, I was looking around. I saw the thing. I laid down for a minute or two, sort of like cuddled my kid, you know, for a bit and just kind of looked. And I sat up and I looked all around at the horizon, which was really pretty cool. You know, you'd see this circular sunset shadow on top of you, you know. And there was a kid who was maybe 8 or 10, something like that, who had pulled his shirt off and was just spinning, arms out, just spinning. In circles, and I was
he's been waiting for the eclipse to have his ritual.
the outbursts of every, like, I was looking up, you know, but that moment when it happens,
it
goes and you pull the glasses off your face, and everyone just kind of yells or gasps, just this murmuring of like non words. And
we had like this strange, there was like in the seconds before it, there's this hush, right, that comes over, and like. It was a pretty breezy
Everyone's
day.
Everyone's murmuring, and then it's like 1%, and it's like, oh my God, there's almost none of it left. And then that flash right at the
bang,
end, and it's just, you know, my God.
And you can hear people like, some people were like, kind of like yelping. I don't even know what to say, like screaming and kind of like, not in fear, but in like sheer awe.
Just it's like just an energy. It's like, exactly. I heard these just outbursts. I'm not sure what sound I made. I probably made some sound. I don't know.
Yeah,
I wasn't paying attention. So
Jack was like totally not on with having the glasses on, so we were just not really focusing on that experience for him. But he was like playing with the water and throwing rocks in the water and stuff and saying hi to all the dogs, and he was awesome all day.
Yeah.
But then like during totality, I picked him up and I was like, you know, look, and pointed up, and he saw it and like locked in with it, like immediately, and was like,
study this.
Oh, yeah. He was like really hooked on it. And then it came, you know, we totality ended, and it flared and came through, and I was like, okay, like,
you're right.
Cover his eyes, and he's like, no, let me see,
I'm not
see.
Done with it.
Yeah,
it was too short.
Yeah. So, and the woman from the parks department said, like, well, you could drive, 45 minutes this way, whatever it was, 50 miles that way, to get, probably another 30 seconds of totality. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Like another 30 seconds.
Oh, you mean before, like to
yeah, before totality. Yeah. Like you could drive to, because we're up in these like tiny little back roads in northern Vermont. So like, no.
No, it's fine.
Cell phone service. I have no idea where I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once you're into it too, you have to drive quite a while for a very small difference. Once you're into the, like, I've got over 2 minutes worth or something. Cause right at the edge, yeah, it's we almost had like, 2 minutes. So
we had like 2:40-ish,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
It just like the whole thing was great. People like properly tailgating. Everybody was like, I don't know what to say. Like everybody was just like vibing and really cool to each other. And I just appreciate that so much because we were all there for like the same experience. There was like this unifying thing. We're excited for the day. Yeah, it was cool. Go see eclipses.
Go see them. I'll probably never see one again in my whole life because the next one that'll be like here, like within a short drive is 2099. So
there's one.
Maybe my kid will see it.
People are talking about there being one in 2040 around here, but I don't know what the deal is with that. And then the next one to cross New Hampshire isn't until 2079. And I haven't looked into that one yet.
79, interesting. Yeah, because I saw a map of like all of them for the next two centuries or something like that because they crisscross in such strange ways.
Yeah, I saw today they have them calculated out to like 2160.
Hmm.
Cool. And there's like, you can see
I'm not personally calculated out that far. I am probably not going to make it, but.
Yeah. I saw this like, you can see a seasonal calendar like compound and it like moves diagonally. It was like that over, hundreds and hundreds of years. So it was very cool.
Wow.
Anyway, 22 minutes on eclipses. I'm sure everybody, one more thing.
Know what you expected, frankly.
One more thing.
Okay.
I follow our local news station, WMUR, on Instagram.
Sure.
And because, they're right here in town. And local news comment sections are some of the greatest places to have a good laugh. And so they posted something about like eclipse timelines and the weather and a bunch of stuff, traffic reports, all that, like in the days leading up. Mm-hmm. And the comments were all like, oh, so excited, looking forward to this, like can't wait, blah, 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 that stuff. And then an equal number of people like, oh my God, get over it. Right. Or like, oh my God, I can't wait for this to be, one said, I can't wait for this to be over so we can all get on with it or get back to normal or something like that. And I'm just thinking like, get back to what? Like fucking politics? Like, what are you talking about? How is that better? Right. How is anything better than this? There aren't many things that are not man-made, that are not natural disasters that unify a people. Right.
Right.
So it's not sports, it's not politics, it's not anything like that.
There are so many pictures of it. Like, so I didn't take any pictures. I'm not a photographer. I just have my phone, which is like, phones are pretty good these days, but I'm not a photographer and I wasn't going to worry about that. I was just going to see it.
Yeah. I took one picture during totality.
My brother has a better camera. He took something. He actually got a selfie of all of us with like a wide angle with it behind us.
Wicked.
So I haven't seen it yet. I'm sure it looks teeny tiny in the background, but it was sort of an interesting thing to shoot. But everybody's seen a picture of a total eclipse, right? We know what it looks like without having to see one in real life. It's not that. And that's what people think. It's like, well, sure. It's like seeing a picture of a bald. You know what? I saw a bald eagle right afterwards as this came up. It's like seeing a picture of a bald eagle. There's tons of pictures of it. We saw a bald eagle.
I did not see it, but there was one in our neighborhood today.
Oh, no kidding. Maybe it was the same one. Probably took him that long to get there. No, flew overhead like just after the eclipse, and we're all like marveling. And then I looked up and it's like, that's a fucking bald eagle. But like, you know what I mean? Like the general public. So somebody who's not interested in astronomy and is one of these people, like, let's get over it, right? They've seen a picture of what a total eclipse looks like. And they've seen the corona and the flare and everything. Yeah. And they're like, okay, great. Like, whatever. But it's not, you can't possibly know that because cameras don't see like your eyes. Like, you can't be in that space and see the unfathomable brightness of 3% of our sun that you still can't look at it and then have that 3% disappear and realize, like, I could see, I don't know if you could probably see stars where you were. We had a little bit of haze. I could see Jupiter still. That was about the only star that was bright enough to come through. Yeah. But like in the middle of the day, it's 3 in the afternoon. Well, it's almost 4 in the afternoon. And there was it was visible star. You know, it's not anything like anything you can ever experience. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry to you people who wanted everyone to get over it. I guess.
Well, it's like I've seen a picture of mountains.
Right.
Right. It's not the same to be at the foot of one. I've seen a picture of the Grand Canyon and I haven't seen it in person, but I trust that it is something that I can't understand the magnitude of until I'm there in person. And the same is true for me with this, with eclipses, because for me, it's also a lot of like the scale, right? That this is so enormous that it happens on the planet I'm standing on. Like instead of just like, you know, I think we all take the planet for granted. Safe to say, right? Like you don't really like think about it in your day to day that we're on a planet in space and stuff. And it just sort of brings all of that forward. It's like, wow, look at that's a celestial body doing its thing. And it's inevitable, right? It's not, you can't appeal it to anybody. Like it's so good.
There's no point to me making those overtures, right? Like you just can't possibly understand because you can't, and I can't describe it. It's not, it's you know, it's overwhelming emotional thing. It's this strange, I'll probably never see it again. I don't know if there's one, there are others coming. Maybe I'll be in a place where I can travel when those come around, but I think there's another one here, so.
I think in 2026, there's one going to be one in Iceland.
Oh, that would be fun.
So that would be fucking real.
Although Iceland
is... Because it's only like a five-hour flight from Boston. So.
High risk of clouds.
But then you're also in Iceland, so who cares?
Yeah, that's true. That would be fun. Yeah. I wish we had spent more time in Iceland. I only spent like 30 hours there. It's a terrible decision.
We were like 3 days. But anyway, I have a guitar thing we can...
Okay. All right.
Shoehorn
in that case,
into this eclipse
we'll
episode.
Shove this in here. Jackson Prism.
I had a gig that
no
I don't
shit.
Think I mentioned on the show. Forgot.
No, I thought you did. I don't know. I lose track. Sometimes
I know.
Listener, we talk not on the show, and sometimes I mix up which things Derek told me on and off the show.
Yeah. Is it podcast me or real life me? You'll never know.
I think you at least talked about rehearsing for it, right?
I think that's probably, So it was last Friday, and it was a Pop Goes Punk show. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure I mentioned it here. But the gig was Friday. It was real good.
Did it pop off?
It did. We played a Backstreet Boys song and a mosh pit happened.
Yeah. I'm good. I'm good with that.
Yeah. So like, you know, there's all kinds of firsts going on. First total eclipse I've experienced.
First mosh pit at a Backstreet
first
Boys.
First mosh pit to Backstreet Boys. Yeah. But it was really fun. We did all ampless. And
Amps are over, everybody.
Here's the cool thing. It makes teardown really fast. Really, really fast.
It's like backpack. There's
Like it takes me longer to like repack my guitar case because I have all like cables and DI boxes and straps and like all this other stuff that goes back in the case with the guitar. Pedal board just goes in the box and you close the box and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
So, but let's see. We have a... What is it? The Behringer, I think X18, 16, something like that.
Okay, so not the biggest one. It's the...
Not the biggest one. Yeah. And that's in our in-ears rig. And Matt, our guitarist and multi-instrumentalist sound person extraordinaire, manages all that stuff for us. I'm not even going to pretend to understand what's happening in there, but it's...
See, so Derek, the sound venue, goes into the channels.
I give him my cable and I'm like, here you go. And he's like, great. Ka-chunk, and he plugs it in, and I'm like, I'm going to go play this guitar now.
Good
so
luck.
Actually, what's awesome is the venue we played, which is a venue we play all the time, has the larger version of that, the X32 or something, which is the big, big one with all of like the screen and the iPad app and all that shit. So he's like, oh, different sound guy than usual. He's like, oh, you got one of those? I'll just connect it to the thing.
Yeah.
To the big one. And they just, boom. And there was like a little bit of troubleshooting.
Copy the settings or something over.
Yeah. And so we just sent him everything. We have independent inner mixes. And he was like just doing it right there.
Yeah.
And so we sent him everything so we could ask him for more of whatever in our ears and stuff. And he could do it.
He could do it and Matt didn't have to worry about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't have to pull up the thing on my phone and give myself more something in my ears.
Right. Right.
Which, you know, we can do. But then you're downtown. Like, there's interference. It's like complicated and slow. So you'd be like, can I get more vocal? And they just do it. And
heard God, of the so storied good. The storied convenience of the Behringer X mixers, digital mixers. Mm-hmm. But I'd never yet heard you could just copy. I mean, it makes perfect sense now that you say it. Just copy the settings over or like
pasted.
Yeah, Ethernet into the other thing or whatever it is and just.
Whatever it was, yeah. I think they did it over Wi-Fi. Like his iPad, like no shit. I think. I don't actually know, but I think because the sound guy was there with his tablet and like doing stuff and Matt was with his gear and like doing stuff and.
One way or the other.
Clicked and worked.
He just punched into yours or punched yours into his and it just expanded and made one a controller for the other or something.
Something
Why
like
not?
That. It's fucking awesome.
Why shouldn't it work that way?
Yeah.
That's one of those.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, we can do that? Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. It's a bit of tech that becomes, it's like painful that it wasn't there before. It's so clear.
Yeah, and like when creating a product line like this X series of mixers and stuff, that's one of those things that you would almost expect to have to say, you know, it would be a great feature is if more of these could connect to each other. Like that seems like something that wouldn't happen, but you'd be like, oh, that would make this the best thing.
Right.
And it does.
And it just happens.
Cool. It just happens. But the gig was good. We made some money. And that's exciting for me because most of my guitar playing life I have not made personal profit from.
Right.
So like that's cool. Because cover bands don't really have merch, so there's not a lot of overhead for us to like worry about cash wise.
That's an interesting thing because then that ends up being like the source of income when you're an original band, right? It's like you can't really make money on the music, so you got to make it up in these other little like side hustles.
It's very strange. Almost. And it's not a ton of money. Like I made 60 bucks or something like that. But hey, I made $60 for
that
doing
makes
something
you a
I like to do.
Professional musician.
It does. And so, I mean, it's
everybody
the
else.
Band got paid and then there's five of us, so divvy it up, but it's still really fun and really cool. And, you know, I did all that shit and not getting paid. So it's just a perk. So like I can go buy
Mosh to the Backstreet Boys for free. So
yeah, I saw it happening and I was
we're
like,
in the black.
What are we doing? Oh, I'm sorry. Can you say that again? That phrase?
Now we're in the black.
You hear that, Eric?
Does Eric say that? Is that, sorry,
no.
Excuse me. Let me rephrase.
Thought,
is that one of the things Eric says wrong?
Hmm. Yeah. He's thought it was in the green.
In the green.
Yeah. And I was like, well, they don't call it Green Friday, do they?
You dumb shit.
And then he said, maybe not in Connecticut or whatever. So I'm just trolling Eric publicly.
Jokes on him. Derek lives in Manchester.
Boom. Which there is one in Connecticut, but I'm not there.
A Manchester? In Connecticut?
Yeah, there's a Manchester in like every New England state. Oh, what are you talking about?
That's true.
So anyway, the gig was good. Only one other band. I've noticed this thing. So I talk about the cover music stuff with Eric a bunch because that's like his non-guitar lesson job is a gigging musician.
Yeah.
A lot of duo stuff in his case. So occasionally trio things, stuff like that. Long sets, like 3-hour sets, multiple set, you know, first set, second set, that kind of thing. We don't have that with our thing. So like there are some things that we talk about as like cover musicians that translate, but then there are other things like, no, the thing that I'm working with still is very much in line with the independent music scene, like the original music scene. Like the vibe is the same. The crowd styles are the same. Like we're hosting a show, come see the show. We are not music at a venue where you're going to dinner. Or we're not music at a place where you're going to go spend night after work kind of thing. Like we're not the brewery band. We're playing the rock club in town, right? But I still have to like You know what I mean? I have to learn the covers in the way that he does.
Is that because, is that like by choice? Is that like because you don't seek out those gigs? Because...
I don't actually know, really, because that's how it's been since I joined, which was only about a little over a year ago. So I don't know if they made a choice to say, like, no, we want to do, like, gigs. Like, we want to do, like, it's show
what's
night
the word
gigs
for that? Or, right. Yeah. Where there's there's multiple acts then, in the same way that it was. So, I mean, did this scene exist when I was... You know, years ago when I was playing, like...
I think it did, and we just didn't pay attention to it because it's under things like 80s night or 70s night. You know, it's like pitched that way, but... And it still is, but and I just maybe never paid attention to it. But, yeah, I don't know. It's strange because I'm like, yeah, you know, I have a gig. It starts at 9:30, right? It's still like original music, basement show... times, right? And yeah, there are fewer bands per night. Like we've only played with two bands, us and one other band every time I've had a gig with them. Mm-hmm. But it's still the full night of music. So two bands with longer sets. So I don't know. I mean, we do need a separate word for it almost, but it was interesting to like come to this idea of like, oh, so I'm like playing covers in an original music scene. Is kind of what it feels like.
Yeah. That is, you know, I wouldn't have thought about that. I think I had always kind of pictured this band as doing like more of what I thought a traditional cover band kind of stuff was for. Like
which is like playing at the brewery on the weekends or something.
Yeah. And like you take a 15-minute break, have a bite to eat at the restaurant or whatever, and then get back up and, oh, it's time for a second set, you know.
Yeah.
Do another 45 minutes or an hour or whatever a few times.
We are open to that. We just haven't made it happen yet. We don't have a connection. We don't have like that kind of thing. We also, you know, if you're doing a three hours of music a night with a break or something like that, it's the set construction.
Right.
Because there's five of us too. Like it's not a duo. So
thinking about it like a DJ.
There's a lot of... I don't know. There's a lot to figure out when there's more people involved, especially because we have two singers. So it's like, kind of want to have an even split amongst them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to, you know, like Andy's singing, he doesn't want to burn out really early in the set. And neither does Allison. So they're kind of like ping-ponging back and forth.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's interesting. We do want to get into these other types of gigs, like the more traditional cover band space, I guess. It's just not where we've been asked to play.
Yeah. Do you think you have the set ready? Or would you have to work on
it? I think...
You've done a lot of shows at this point. It sort of feels like you probably could put something together.
Oh, we could, I think. We just took a break over the winter because Mike had a baby and stuff. But yeah, I think... that's a good question. I think we could do it. Every time we like, oh God, I'm kind of feeling the pressure for this set or for this song.
Mm-hmm.
Then we come to practice and we fucking nail it every time. I'm like, oh so all that worry wasn't a big deal. And it's like, I can just rely on the four other people in the room to carry their weight and do their thing. And they always do. So
that's the effect and the experience of people who do have a little bit of that worry because the worry drives you to be good, right?
I've said this before. Like,
I
don't want the problem to be with me because, like, I want to have confidence while I'm playing these parts and stuff, so I can enjoy myself at the show and not worry about am I playing it the right way. I think we've got of the sets we've played, like songs that I've learned for this band. It certainly totals 3 hours or more. Mm-hmm. It's just. You know, some of these songs haven't been in a set list since last year, so I haven't played them. So what is the factor of like kind of relearning or dusting off old songs you haven't looked at in a while? So it's like that.
Right.
Is it starting from zero? Not really.
No.
But yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, whoever has a venue that, you know, needs a
I'll play a wedding. I don't give a shit.
Needs a fun band.
Somebody did message us about playing a wedding. They were looking for like an emo cover band at their wedding.
There you go.
And we're like, yeah. They were going to do a destination wedding to Salem, Mass. And we're like, would you do this gig? And I was like, yeah, I would do this gig. Like,
awesome.
What else is there?
Plus, it's a wedding, so you can gouge them on the money.
Right. Yeah.
It's culturally appropriate to do so.
Right. And yeah. So anyway, I think that has since been tabled, but you know, it comes up.
Yeah. They're worried somebody's going to catch them because they're witches.
Probably.
I'm assuming they're witches.
Witches.
Why else? You know?
But that's the only guitar thing I've got, I guess.
Yeah. I did another recording with the Luna system where I record everything dry and apply amps and at the moment, and it once again was invaluable. Is this a topic? Should I just do this? I don't know. Is this a topic? Talk over the singer.
Enough already. God.
Fucking thing.
I don't think we need to go on at length about how great Luna is again, but it's still true, right?
It's like, still true. It's just like what's I've always known is there is like I do this because for one thing it's the editing and stuff to work on a DI track is just visually easier, but that doesn't matter to the audience of this show. But like the changing the sounds after the fact. It's so funny because from a music creation perspective, there's a lot of advice, and it's not wrong, about like commit to a sound and go for it. And now I'm like in this headspace where I'm like, I don't have to commit to a sound. But I think, I feel like I've earned it because I don't just like reach for it forever, but it is awfully nice to like have the rest of the mix there, like to build up the drum mix and get it good and loud and get the vocal in there, and it's hot and sizzly, and things are now at the like at a listening level like I'm expecting them to be in the mix, and then to be able to grab the guitar amp and, you know, actually it doesn't need quite that much on the high knob, you know, instead of having to do it with an EQ after the fact, because that's different. So I do kind of think that it's like a privileged thing. Maybe it should be likened more to it's as though we did a whole demo process. You know, maybe we did pre-production demos of the whole thing, and now I know exactly what I want my guitar tone to be, and now we're recording it, kind of thing, except I don't have to do that. But it was invaluable because I get partway through. this track had, we did some layers. We did some of this, like, playing the single string root note kind of layers, extra guitar layers. And the band was a little unsure about, I think, what they wanted it to sound like. And when we got those layers in, it was like, oh yeah, cool. And I got kind of into the mix, and it really didn't sound like the band anymore. It was like, I think we've gone too far with this. And so it was like, oh, switch this back. Let's lower those. Let's bring these other things in. I want more gain on the other track. I want this other. And so it gave the freedom to kind of shift back to, and now we're landing on a spot that's closer to what I expected the band to sound like, because I was a little surprised by those requests during the session. But yeah, but so all that happened.
Yeah, I mean that's a perfectly clear like case study for this thing. Which so it's interesting to me that it's like the idea of pick a sound and go with it.
Yeah.
Because there are too many options. So you got to pick one and move forward. It's
an argument to get you out of paralysis.
Yeah. Right. Which I think can apply to all sorts of things, like not just. Yeah. As a recording engineer, but also as the writing musician or the playing member of the band, or even stuff like day jobs, right? Like that's a handy bit of saying. But then technology comes along and is like, but you know that saying that we all do? You don't have to do it anymore. Like what?
Yeah.
Right? Like if something came along and was like, hey, you know righty tighty, lefty loosey? Guess what? No, you can do lefty tighty. Like, it's not that extreme, but you know, what would you?
I have a lefty. I have a righty tighty lefty loosey story. If you want a quick transition.
Yeah.
So last week, the bathroom by my daughter's bedroom, the lever broke on the toilet.
Okay.
Right, she goes to push it and it just snaps. Doesn't. Sorry.
Okay.
My nose is falling off. Okay. And She's like, dad, you know, I'm like, oh, that's fine. There's a, you know, I lift the cover off and I flush it manually. Right.
You make it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but I went and got a new lever, whatever, and I'm putting it on. And I know, and probably a lot of people don't know, I know those levers, there's a nut on the back that, you know, you put it in place and there's a nut that holds it onto the toilet. Those are threaded backwards.
They
those
are.
And like lawnmower blades. There's a few things in the world that are intentionally threaded backwards because they'll come off through repetitive motion. Right.
Yeah.
And that's one of them. It is so fucking confusing to try to attach one of those because
also because you're looking at it backwards too. So like it's double backwards.
It's double backwards. But like I have turned enough screws in my life and bolts and nuts and things that like it's in my brain. Like if I reach for something, no matter if it's upside down or backwards, I know which way my hand's gonna go to force my damn hand to go the wrong way to tighten it. I seriously like put it three turns on and then accidentally turned it back off again like four times. It was so frustrating.
Anyway. Yeah, like you turn it, you're like repositioned, now you're doing it backwards again. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was something I had that was reverse threaded and I can't remember what it was now, but it was for that exact reason because through usage, it would undo itself.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck. Mm. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Music.
I don't know. Hey, you want to, should we just like get out of here? What do you think? I don't know. Are you going to do a suggestion of the week? We're at 45.
Sure. I can do a thing. I'll tell about the thing that we did this past weekend. Cause, my brother and his partner came here to visit for the eclipse, even though I think New England ended up having better weather, but, no, our weather
was great.
We did
have some cloud coverage.
Just
we had some
slight haze. Yeah, wispy things, which is not a big deal. It was fine. But anyway, it was for a visit anyway. Yes, we can absolutely do that. Let's just play a quick thingy. That's a fun one.
When in doubt, go chromatic.
Which notes should I play? Yes.
All of them.
do you have something in mind? Do you want me to go?
I have something, yeah. Whatever you want to do. You started your thing, so
I started my thing. All right, so the thing that we did, this is something that Tyler got for all of us, and I don't even remember when, but it was something, it was like a, you know, one of these times when you get gifts for each other thing. He got this sort of gift for the family thing, and it just took us this long to get to be together so that we could do it. So it was this... I just did one of these recently. It was a murder mystery experience. This one was quite different from others that I've done before. And it was really fun and cool. So the conceit of this one, and I don't know the exact details of it. I'm sure he'll tell me and I can put it in the show notes, send a link to the company or whatever. But it was, for one thing, it's cooperative. So there isn't any adversaries. And the other thing that I liked about it is the murdered and the suspects are not the players, right? So they're NPCs.
Murders. And, oh, okay. So
right?
You're
so
like,
the victim,
you're
I shouldn't
acting
say
as
murdered,
detectives?
The victim and the, right. We're detective, but like every other one of these I've done, it's usually been someone gets murdered. Someone is the victim and then they take on a different role or they become a ghost or whatever it is, however they tie it in.
Right. Yes. I know.
One of
about.
You is the bad guy, it turns out, and you have to play that part. Mm-hmm. And there's merit to that. I thought this was interesting because it wasn't like that. It was never any illusion. Like we are trying to find which of these NPCs did it, you know?
Oh, I may know what you're talking about. I just saw like an ad or something for a thing that was like it's like date night idea. And it was this detective version of a murder mystery, something like that. And I was like, I saved it to send to Beth. I haven't looked into it since, but yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. That's awesome.
It was really cool. It was a little bit D&D themed. Like you didn't have to play D&D in it, but there was like sort of, it was in that universe kind of thing. And there were four classes. And so you had to do this, you would have to have a minimum of four people. But if you have more, you just double up and there's more than one of each class. But the clues and things are, you print these things out and there's a bunch of QR codes and they say on them like, this is a fireplace, stick it somewhere where there would be a fireplace. This is a bar. Stick it on a countertop. This is a shelf that has potions on
like
it.
Like in your physical space?
In your house. So you decorate your whole house. And there's QR codes. So we're all going around with our phones and taking pictures of them. And it opens up a website which has some pictures and tells you some flavor text. Is a story of you interviewing an NPC or something and see what they say.
Oh, very and cool. Maybe it's not what I was thinking of, but I love this.
Because there's four classes. Like, I was a fighter, and so I, for the most part, things looked mundane to me, whereas Marielle was a wizard, and she would scan the same thing, except for her, this potion's magical, I can detect it, or that it's not just mundane writing, that's a spell, you know?
So I see what you're saying about D&D, where it's like, as the class you're playing, you don't even have the option to see everything, because your character is unable to.
My characters, and there were things that... Well, somebody said, we're in a tavern, right? There's these barrels downstairs and they had some runes on them, but they don't match the runes that you had. There was only two. And I went downstairs and I scanned the barrels and it was like, well, you easily turn the barrels with your giant fighter strength and you can see the runes that the other people couldn't see. So they needed my help for that. There was another section where I could see something.
That is very D&D. Yeah.
But I couldn't reach it. And I got one of the smaller characters and I hoisted them up so they could reach it for me. So then it was like... It showed a QR code on my phone, and it said I had to show that code to another player, and they had to scan it. And then it said, with the immense strength of the fighter, he easily hoisted you up, and you could reach the thing inside the mouth.
Jesus,
you know?
That's so good.
And there was a bunch of nonsense and red herrings, and there was a few other things. And then sooner or later, the right person scanned something, and it was, and you know, Mario, like I said, that's a spell. And then, well, over here, there's a tapestry. And it just looks normal. But when she scanned it, it was like there's some place where you could like say a magic word to it or something. And she does the spell and then it lit up and it changed. And then that gave us a key to something else. And you type in the 4-digit key code that you got from this other item. And then the story progressed.
So it just sort of like,
you know,
it slowly dominoes as people discover what they're capable of. And like, that's very cool.
Right.
I love that idea.
Sometimes this person... You get different dialogue. So I talked to somebody and I learned this, but this other person talked to them and learned a different thing. And then we had to put our heads
together.
So then
you have to,
Yeah. And we solved it. We got it all right. And then you could go back because these are just websites. So I could push the back button at the end and say, so what would happen if we picked the wrong one? And then we see what would happen and just to confirm. And that was pretty cool.
Send me the name of that.
I will.
I'll get the
info so that it can be in the show notes too, because I know that's I don't awesome. Have it in front of me right now. But
nice. I love that.
Awesome.
I just posted a link in the chat to my recommendation, my suggestion of the week, which is this fantastic puzzle that Beth got me. It's from a company called Craig Hill. And can you bring that up on the browser?
I'm trying to, and Discord is telling me all about its new polls feature.
Oh, good.
Yeah, excellent. Bloody great. Anyway,
there we are.
All right, so here's the thing.
This was a Kickstarter, and Beth backed it and got this puzzle for me. So this is it's called a packing puzzle, and the goal is to put all the pieces back into the container. And they only fit in one orientation is kind of the typical deal with packing puzzles.
Yeah.
The thing about this packing puzzle is it fits in two orientations. And the thing about it is that, you know those puzzles, the jigsaw puzzles from Magic Puzzle Company where you like rearrange it's that in three-dimensional space.
Oh, I see that yours doesn't have the hole in the middle. Like
because
we see
mine
there.
Has the jack. Here. So the jack.
Oh.
This is called the Jack in the Box puzzle.
Right.
And it's a box of milled aluminum cuboids. And
what a great fucking word.
So there's three of the sides have a smooth finish, and then three of the other sides have like a kind of like a dimpled, almost like a golf ball.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you look at the inside of the puzzle here, you can see kind of like...
I'm going to make you big again while you show this off. Oh, God. Fucking ruined it.
it's going to take me a while to get this back together. So you can kind of see like how they're fitting together here. They're all like off kilter and stuff. So what's crazy is if I take all these out, which I'll just do right now, because I'll redo this puzzle tomorrow. Because you can't just like, I'll whip it together real quick, because you shuffle these all around and then you realize, oh, there's actually three orientations for each piece, depending on if I which version of the puzzle I'm doing.
It would satisfy the requirements, ostensibly.
Right.
Well, once again, Derek, cuboids, they do not want to stay in one place.
Yeah, so this is a pile of cuboids. And, oh, God.
This is the best part of the show.
Damn it. So I'm just going to put these down. But my point is, did you hear that?
We'll throw it back up on the screen for...
So like here's an example, right? So this is like the orientation you might expect this piece to fit in the corner here. And you're like, good, I've got a good starting point. But then you realize, oh, you can also do it this way.
Yeah.
And then you can also do it this way. And it's still
you know, smooth side out.
Still square to the corner. And so you got to do that with eight pieces. And depending on the orientation you do it in, this jack piece, will fit within between all eight pieces. So you can do the puzzle, and there's two solutions to it. One is with the jack inside, and one is with the jack outside. And both will fill the volume of this acrylic cube that it lives in. Stop dropping shit.
Fucking dropping shit.
So it lives in this acrylic cube that is like the case and a stand. And then if the jack is out, it will stand... like,
oh, the jack is the stand. Yeah.
The jack is the stand. It's so good, Justin. Like, it is this, it's this amazing, it's this combination of puzzle, right? Where you're like, I got to get it to fit. I want to put this back together and I want it to fit. That's satisfying to do. Plus magic trick, because it fits, because the inside volume of this cube does not change.
Right. Right.
But the orientation of the shapes you're packing into the cube does, which yields a different usage of volume, right? So it's so good. It's so clever. And it's nice and it's really heavy. It's all aluminum.
Are they the same? Like,
no.
So if you line those up, you don't have eight identical chunks. You've got...
No.
Right, they vary. Okay, got it.
They vary, yeah. And then even if they were the same, there's six sides. So there's like six orientation options. But then there's the other... Right. And then all the permutations of how that fits with the seven other pieces, right? So there's like this kind of overwhelming amount of options to go through. But you can then orient it any which way in 3D space from... your starting point, right? Like if I put this piece in, what is that? It's at the bottom left corner. What is left? Right? What is right? It doesn't matter. So anyway, Craig Hill, look up Craig Hill on the website, and they have like all kinds of really nice, high quality mechanical puzzle type things. They're like, I don't know. They're more like kind of cool desk artifacts that are also puzzles and games and clever brain teasers and stuff, but are also beautifully designed things to like use as decoration, as decor in your home. So I'm all about it. This thing rules. Jack in the box puzzle.
Fucking A.
Yeah.
Goddamn. Yeah, that's a podcast.
Yeah, that's about the size of it.
Now we just gotta gather the links in post. I guess there's only a couple of things we're linking to. Anyway.
I can tell you what one of those things we're linking to is. It is the Discord and the Patreon and the newsletter. You like that segue?
Now that Discord has the ability to do polls, are we gonna start doing polls all the time, or is that gonna fizzle out just like every other thing?
We could do polls. Spotify offers us to do polls when the episode is published. And sometimes I do that and I'll ask a silly question, then not follow up on what the answers are.
I put one of those in once. I don't believe it got any responses.
Yeah, I don't know if people know that
you can do that.
Respond to polls via Spotify, but you can. So I don't know. Maybe I'll make the question, do you know that there's polls here in Spotify?
Do you know that Spotify has polls? Yeah. Do you know that Discord has polls now? We're nonsense poll of the day.
So,
no, I don't anyway, know. That doesn't yeah. sound like fun.
In the show notes, you can find links to all relevant things discussed in this episode, as well as our Discord server, where we record the show every 2 weeks. And you can come in, listen in for free, live, while we do it. And it's
oh, wait,
really fun.
One other thing. I meant to exclude in this episode basically a full retraction of everything I said about travel guitars, because apparently it's all wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah, we got chewed out about travel guitars. So
tons of people like chimed in and was like, I don't know, man, I love mine. And it was like,
okay,
there was a
you know
waterfall
what,
of, I don't know, man, I love mine. And then hours later, my dad comes over to babysit our kid, and he brings his travel guitar that I wasn't sure he even still had. And he was like, oh, yeah.
Like, how great is this thing?
He walked in. He didn't say anything about it. And I was like, so that's your baby Taylor,
is that a
huh?
fucking travel guitar?
Is that your baby Taylor? Do you use that a lot? And he's like, oh, yeah, all the time. And my mom starts going on about how much better it is on planes. And whenever they travel, it's so much better than his full guitar. She's going at me about it. And she doesn't know that I talk. And I was like, I let him go on for a few minutes. And I was like, so on the episode we recorded like yesterday, I basically badmouthed baby guitars, travel guitars for like 30 minutes. Yeah. So anyway, full retraction. I'm sorry. Apparently that Taylor thing for like $600, he finds immense value in it. He's quite happy with how it sounds and being able to carry around a smaller, lighter guitar, even though it's not pocket-sized.
I have a tiny guitar it's a six-string ukulele is what it's actually doing. It's right. very small, very,
yeah.
very small.
Yeah.
It's ukulele-sized. That's a whole different game. I do wish I had it with me yesterday at the Eclipse, because there was someone there. Somebody was like, doing cool harmonica shit. Somebody was playing mandolin.
Oh,
it was
man.
Awesome. And they were just like tailgating and just kind of playing yeah. for themselves. And
moon
it was
jam.
Just this nice little, oh, moon jams. Oh my God. So anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, I had to put that in. It would be not behoove me to not admit that. Totally wrong. I get it.
Yeah. And since we didn't plan this episode in the slightest, I'm going to also say that maybe next time we'll have, more action on what our next giveaway is going to be. And you can find out about that first here in Discord, second on the newsletter. So get on that newsletter, and that's how we're going to be drawing names for winners and stuff like that. So do that. Yeah. And if you like the show enough to pay us money and fund cool giveaways, you can hit us on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. So our Patreon supporters this week include... Are you ready?
Yeah. Oh, you probably okay. want me oh, to do yeah. this.
I'm just asking if Justin's ready. Rabbi Bob, Gabe Droll, Carson Ricketts, Matthew Fenslaw, Ryzen Wolf, Brian Gower of the Tone Jerks podcast, Andrew Walsh of Andrew's Alcove, Sean Wright of Lollygagger Effects, Doug Gann, and as a matter of course, Slayer.
Slayer now. Thanks a lot, everybody. Sincerely.
Thanks.
See you next time.
I will sincerely see you next time.
Bye.
See ya.